From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the seventh day of February 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. And then a bit later in the program, Matt Bennett from TGM out of Windsor, Illinois, will be here to look at the cash grain market. Along the way, we'll tell you all about the weather forecast for the Midwest. And we'll get an update on what Kansans are thinking about ethanol production and their next crop to use to produce that biofuel. It all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Checking the numbers as I settled up in Chicago on a Thursday afternoon. Futures finished like this in the soft red winter wheat pit at $7.57, and these are closes down 4.5 cents in the March. The May futures at 7.61 1/4, 8 lower, and July closed at 7.62 1/4, down a dime for the day. Just closes from Kansas City as well, $8.28 1/2 there, a penny and a half higher. From the corn pit back in Chicago, no settlements, but closes 7.12, the last trade 10.5 lower, so it may change yet for the afternoon. May futures 7.12 1/2, down 11.5 in the corn pit, and July corn 7.04 1/2, down 10 1/4. September 5.88 1/2, down 15 cents. December futures at $5.66 1/4, down 12.5 cents. The March contract at $5.79 1/4 for next year, a dime lower. March soybeans at $14.88, up 0.5 on the afternoon. The May at $14.74, 3 1/4 lower. July at $14.65, these are closes, down 3.5. And the August at $14.33, down 6.5 cents. And November beans, $14.23 3/4, down 12 1/4. Bean meal futures were $3.81 1/2 at the end of the day, up 3 3/4. The March in the bean oil at $51.85 was 60 cents lower for the afternoon. The bean meal actually trading the March contract at $4.38 20. That's up $1.10. Mercantile exchange numbers finished the April live cattle at 131.52 1/2. This is a settlement, up 7.5 cents. April feeders at 150.57 1/2, down 35. And the lean hogs finished the April at $86.52 1/2, up 27.5 cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, March contract, $95.85 a barrel, down 77 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $3.04, that's down 2.5 cents on the wholesale price. Ethanol at $2.40 0.8, down 2 1/10 cents. The difference between the two is now 60 6/10 cents. It's just about 4 1/10 cents narrower than it was yesterday at this time. Natural gas at $3.29 1/2, down 12 3/10 cents. 12 3/10 cents. And the heating oil for the day, or diesel fuel, at $3.20 3/10 cents, 1 7/10 cents higher. Gold futures at $1,670.60 an ounce, down $7.50. And the dollar now at 80.19 is up 0.47 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. They're calling for occasional showers, possibly a thunderstorm, a high of 50 degrees this afternoon, a south wind at about 9 miles an hour, becoming westerly. The chance of precipitation for this afternoon set at 100% in the area. Tonight, a chance of rain before midnight, and then a chance of freezing drizzle. Cloudy, gradually becoming partly cloudy, a low of 30 this evening, a north-northwest wind at 6 to 10 miles an hour, and then the precipitation set at 30%. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of 38 on a north wind at 8 to 11. Friday night, mostly clear and a low of 25. Saturday, sunny and 41. Mostly cloudy Saturday evening and 33. On Sunday, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm or two. Cloudy, a high of 47 degrees. Chance of precipitation on Sunday set at 70%. Sunday night, that chance of showers continues. Mostly cloudy skies and a low of just 34 degrees. By the time we get to Monday, sunny skies and 41. Monday night, partly cloudy and 25. We You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of both the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. By the way, you can hear Commodity Week on our website at willag.org after about 6 o'clock each and every Friday evening. Our guest this week, Michael Cordonnier.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
It is the seventh day of February. On the phone line with us, Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He hails from Mandeville, Louisiana, but is somewhere in deep southern Illinois, I think Illinois still today, on the road, headed back to Evansville in a flight for either Waco or Mandeville, one of the two. Where are you headed this afternoon, Dan?
I'm going to go to New Orleans.
No, you're going to New Orleans. Good. Thank you so much for being along with
us. Mardi Gras weekend.
wait a second. Is the wife coming in to see you?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't sure. Well, good.
I'd get in too much trouble without her.
Yeah. Well, Teresa will keep you in line. I'm almost positive of that. So, okay, good. Well, thank you so much for the last couple of days for spending time with me as we went to Northern Illinois to DeKalb and then yesterday to the Pork Expo. We had a really good couple of days. Did you learn anything new over those couple of days from the producers and what they were thinking about the marketplace?
Well, I mean, as a rule, they're all very interested in, you know, what everybody has to say about the market. Not necessarily that they're going to, you know, take everything they hear as gospel, but they're all interested in what might come along to maybe give them a selling opportunity or what might come along to totally mess up their marketing plan. So, I think being in the markets in this era is fun even for an old guy like me because, you know, you don't necessarily know what you're going to wake up to the next morning, and it could just totally change the whole complex. And I think farmers are definitely aware of that, and they've got the money on the line with their big operations and expensive equipment and a lot of investment. So there's no doubt about it. There's a lot of interest no matter where you go at in the Corn Belt on what could happen or what might happen to, help me out.
And projected rainfall, the reason for the downturn in the marketplace today?
Well, I think a couple things. I think the main thing what I would attribute it to is another dismal showing of corn export sales, and then the private Brazilian crop estimate that their corn crop, I think, was going to maybe climb to 76 million tons. Most people in the trade has been using a number around 72. I think last year we were somewhere around maybe 74 and a half. And I think our bean sales were very good. The Brazilian bean crop does seem like it's growing a little bit. Now the Argentine crop is shrinking. I think the net effect is maybe somewhere around 3 million tons. It'll be interesting to see what USDA does tomorrow. But I think the larger Brazilian corn crop and the dismal export demand that we're seeing for U.S. product is probably the main negative here today. Because what it's telling us is that our export demand is going to be worse than what USDA has on the books. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see USDA trim our export demand number tomorrow at least 50. Just looking to me like it could maybe fall back as low as 800 from this 950 level. And then with the large new crop, Brazilian corn crop coming at us, I'm beginning to get nervous that they're going to be a competitor of ours back again as we get into the spring and summer months when they get their crop out of the ground. So I think that's the big negative in corn. It pushed new crop corn futures to new lows for the year here today, which is not a good sign when you're watching seasonal tendencies. That does tell you that the market feels generally comfortable, at least at this point, that farmers are going to plant a large acreage. Now, what about summer weather? I guess, you know, we'll worry about that 2 months down the road or so.
So some very bearish fundamentals. Do you have hope for the marketplace beyond those fundamentals?
Well, I think so. I mean, it seems to me like the market's wanting to price in the biggest new crop it can price in 6 weeks into the new calendar year. So it wouldn't be surprising to me that they overdo the bearishness in corn, because I do think that beans are in a much better fundamental position. Export sales today were very strong. I think they were right up against 900,000 tons. I think China took maybe 600,000 or 700,000 tons. I've been on the road, but I know China took a big chunk today. And that pace tells us that USDA needs to raise crushings tomorrow, and they need to raise export demand. And I guess probably what they'll do is take it out of residual use, some of it. But I don't know where they're going to get it. I mean, we can basically what our balance sheet calls for is that we can only make sales about 200,000 a week rather than 800 or 900,000 a week. So it tells me that the old crop balance sheet is much skinnier than what USDA has on the book. So it does look to me like the soybean market is in a much better shape to move higher and gain on corn. And what the function then would be is to pull some of those acres out of corn into soybeans and then probably get a little more balance. So I think they're probably working in the worst or the best case scenario for corn production right in here, and it'll get smaller from here.
So if you worked in the best case for corn production scenario, and then you turned around and planted a smaller set of acres because beans were pulling some of those away, I take it that's what you're telling me, on a higher ratio for corn to beans,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, smaller acres and then probably a more realistic yield. I think we had some panel discussions on that over the past couple of days that, you know, if you're going to plant 97 or 100 million acres, it's kind of hard to get a yield equal to when you're only planting 85 million acres of corn. So people that are plugging in 162 and 163 bushel yield doesn't look very realistic, at least at the moment. And then especially if the weather pattern doesn't change and allow some more moisture as you get into the western corn belt and the southern plains and the northern plains, that yield prospect can fall fairly quickly, I think.
I suppose the other thing maybe I want to delve just a little bit, if we get Brazilian exports of corn as competition, it really only comes probably in 3 or 4, maybe 5 months, but it comes before our harvest in the United States, so might be competition, but we wouldn't have really much to export at that time frame anyway.
No, we really don't. I mean, and then if the implied feed disappearance that implied based upon the December 1st stocks numbers, we probably need to drop exports 200 million, if not more. But what that does, though, is it pulls the plug out of the prospects of a sharply higher old crop market. But, you know, it's tense, and we're really not going to know anything new on the fundamental front until we see the March 1st stocks numbers, and then, of course, planting intentions numbers. That's going to be a big report on March 28th or 29th. I forget which day it is, but it's right on that Friday, last Friday in March.
Hey, thanks so much, and have a safe trip back to New Orleans.
Very well, Todd.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises, hails from Mandeville, Louisiana, joins us on the closing market report for this Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Now here's Sean Powers with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, the Congressional Budget Office has cut its estimate of available farm bill funding. The preliminary annual funding baseline won't be out until next month, but Republican U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa says the initial CBO numbers aren't good.
The baseline estimate for the farm bill is about $14 billion lower over 10 years than last year's, and most of that comes right around $11 billion coming from the nutrition program. The crop insurance baseline also decreases by around $3 billion over 10 years.
That means if Congress writes a new farm bill this year, it will start from a lower number than last year. The $14 billion in new cuts could come on top of last year's Senate-passed cuts of $23 billion, or House Ag Committee cuts of $33 billion. Grassley says he sees bigger farm bill cuts coming.
There are more savings than can be found in nutrition programs that won't hinder our ability to feed the hungry. So obviously that'll get a good look. In addition, crop insurance isn't the runaway program that critics make it out to be. We can have confidence that the program is working.
But it's expected the Ag Committee won't go too far in writing a new farm bill until they have a good handle on the numbers. And that won't happen until next month at the earliest. Congress and President Obama have just a few weeks to act to prevent the sequestration spending cuts that will impact everything from education programs to agriculture. President Obama introduced a short-term fix of budget cuts to delay the across-the-board spending cuts, which are expected to kick in on March 1st. Speaking on the Senate floor today, Indiana Republican Dan Coats says cuts to entitlement programs must be made to ensure fiscal stability.
We've said this too much. The burden here is not tax revenues. The burden here is dealing with our spending issue. And part of that has to be dealing with the mandatory spending that is ever driving this deficit and debt.
On Tuesday, President Obama acknowledged that Congress likely won't be able to pass a full budget by next month to avoid the across-the-board spending cuts. So the president pushed for a temporary plan that could give lawmakers another few months to negotiate on a larger deficit reduction package. At the end of last year, Congress passed permanent normal trade relations with Russia, but Russia recently announced it would begin banning imports of U.S. beef and pork products because of the possibility that the meats may contain the feed additive ractopamine. Colin Woodall with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association says the ban is simply not acceptable.
There is no science to base their decision on. In fact, we worked with the Codex Commission just last summer, which is the international commission that looks at food safety, and we were able to get a maximum residue level, an MRL, established for the use of ractopamine in beef and pork. That should have been enough to satisfy Russia.
Woodall says the National Cattlemen's Beef Association is working with the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative and the USDA to look at options under several different trade agreements to fix this. Ultimately, he says, it may be necessary to go to the World Trade Organization. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Sean Powers is with Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program you can hear on our website anytime you'd like. In fact, we updated it about 6 o'clock on Friday evenings with the latest edition of the program. Our guest this week will be Dr. Michael Cordonnier of Soybean and Corn Advisor. I think he should be fresh off a trip from South America. Nonetheless, he'll give us his latest version of what the crop looks like in Brazil and Argentina. Dr. Michael Cordonnier, our guest on Commodity Week this Friday. You can hear it on our website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock that evening. All times, of course, are Central USA. One other note, if you have not gotten yet your tickets for the All-Day Agricultural Outlook, better make the phone call soon, 217-333-7300. Our All-Day Ag Outlook is scheduled for the 5th day of March. That's a Tuesday over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Complete details are online. And a list of all of our upcoming Will Ag panels. There's a whole bunch of them, probably one in your area, so you're going to want to visit that website anyway. But you could call for your tickets today at 217-333-7300 for the All-Day Ag Outlook. They include all of the panels for the day, your Beef House meals, and it all comes for just $25. 217-333-7300 is the number to call. Now up next, you know U.S. EPA has approved ethanol made from grain sorghum as an advanced biofuel. As you'll hear, Kansans are thinking it may very well be the state's next foray into ethanol production.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
The United States has been unable to meet the letter of the law as it pertains to advanced biofuels. It was thought cellulosic versions of the renewable energy would fill that bill, but science has not been able to generate the gallons. U.S. EPA has been busy finding new avenues to meet the law. One of those was designating ethanol made from grain sorghum as an advanced biofuel. It has fueled hopes in states like Kansas, says K-State Extension ag economist Dan O'Brien.
I guess kind of our general train of thought out here in the Western Plains is that if grain sorghum can get just 1 billion gallons out of that, say, eventually about 4 billion gallon advanced biofuel slice of the renewable fuel standard, then, gosh, we, you know, 1 billion gallons at about 2.8 gallons per bushel is about 350 million bushels, and we only grew in the U.S. about 250 last year. So it could be a, it could make for a large change if there's a lot of adaptation amongst plants and such.
Here in Illinois, farmers are wondering what this potential might mean for the corn acres Kansans have been planting in recent years. The state, once the king of hard red winter wheat production, has diversified in the past decade. Farmers there now plant more corn acres than wheat acres. It was an economic choice, says O'Brien, and one Kansas farmers might rethink.
And if they get a good enough profitability signal from grain sorghum, it could pull from everywhere. On the dry land side, of course, it would be, it'd compete directly with corn and pull maybe some wheat acres as people would be more intense. Really, the larger ring to grab for grain sorghum would be if it could compete on irrigated acres. And, you know, and the market's kind of coming to it as we have enough wells that are declining in irrigation capacity out here in the Western Plains. You know, lower yield scenario, corn and grain sorghum are competitive, where we still have lots of irrigation water. Corn, with its ability to respond to available moisture, quote, out horses grain sorghum, at least in our part of the country. But for the increasing number of low capacity wells, you know, 100 to 300 gallons per minute, then, you know, those type of wells could find grain sorghum to be a very good option.
An option which would offer the nation a pump-ready advanced biofuel version of ethanol and cede a portion of the limited by-law corn ethanol production back to farmers in states like Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa. For University of Illinois, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
Well, we'll be back here on the Closing Market Report in just a couple minutes. We'll talk with Matt Bennett from TGM about the cash grain markets. Pete Levitt is away this afternoon, so we will not be taking up the agricultural weather forecast. Stay with us as we make our way through the end of this edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
It's National Stuffed Mushroom Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1790, John Bachman was born, a naturalist and Lutheran minister. He wrote some of the text for John James Audubon's albums of birds and mammals of North America. He also published his own works on botany, agriculture, and southern animals. In 1810, Alexis Soyer was born, a French chef and author. He opened kitchens in Ireland during the famine to sell food at one-half price, and he was also the inventor of several stoves and kitchen utensils. In 1824, J.W. Goodrich introduced rubber galoshes, thin rubber boots to fit over shoes during inclement weather. In 1906, Clyde W. Tombaugh was born, an American astronomer. He discovered Pluto in 1930. Born on a farm near Streator, Illinois, his first telescope was made from old farm equipment parts. In 1930, candy maker Frank C. Mars of Minnesota introduced the Snickers bar. And in 1941, Roy J. Plunkett received a U.S. patent for Teflon. He discovered it by accident in 1938. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check the cash grain market. Matt Bennett at TGM in Windsor, Illinois, is on the phone line with us. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, I saw a little bit of a note that you had to go try to catch a calf today.
Yeah, multifaceted operation around here.
And it was a bull. How'd it go? Did you get it? Did you get him in pretty quickly?
Got him in. He tore a gate up, so I'm about $200 down. So,
well, you'll make it up in the marketplace.
Yep.
All right. That's as long as you're on the right side of the market. Tell me about the cash grain market, speaking of that.
Well, there's some stuff moving. You know, some of the processors are looking still for a little bit of stuff, but there's not a whole lot of push. I mean, some of the posted bids are really not pushing much off of them, so it's going to be interesting moving forward. You know, bean base broke just a little bit for us there on Monday, and then we've been pretty steady on both corn and beans since then.
Your opinion of the reason futures broke so hard today, man, 10 cents, it's difficult to say so hard, but 10 cents in corn on the downside hurts sometimes.
Yeah, it definitely hurts between yesterday and today. You know, we have a break, and I'm not real surprised going into this report. And, you know, I've been talking here recently about locking in some, you know, some floors and just doing something to lock in some value just simply because we've got so much profit here in this corn compared to what our input costs are. I mean, assuming a normal crop, of course, and so there's some things you can do to adjust your position after the fact, but obviously after breaking a quarter, it's kind of frustrating for guys that didn't do anything.
Yeah, how far along would you be? Would you be covering the 15% maybe that's not covered under crop insurance, or how far along?
Well, we look at it a little bit differently, but I think since last fall, we've been advocating getting to a guy to around 25 to 33% based upon getting their inputs paid for and whatnot. And we can do just the 15%, but on the other hand, I just soon do a little bit more knowing what our input costs are, knowing we can adjust the position if we have to, because we're doing quite a bit on paper right now.
So if you've already got fertilizer on, your nitrogen paid for, or at least costed out, one of the two, and then all of those inputs, so you can really put the pencil to paper and figure out what you need to cover.
Yeah, the nice thing about it is, you know, whenever we were doing that, you know, we paid for all of our inputs with a few less bushels than what we'd be paying for them today, and obviously we still have profit in the market today, so all's not lost by any means, but I just encourage guys to look for profitability and where they can find it. They should go ahead and lock some stuff in.
Is your feeling better about the soybean market than the corn market at this time?
Well, that's a tough call. I mean, obviously, we've got a plethora of beans coming on the market here in the next few months, but, you know, demand is sky high. So whenever I'm looking at fall beans, I still see a pretty good value in selling beans, you know, whenever they're over $13 on the know. I mean, historically, that's an awfully good price. And from an input standpoint, we're not sitting too terribly much higher than what we've been in the past. So I don't have a problem with a guy stepping in and selling a similar percentage on their beans.
What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn, $7.19, fall, $5.41. Cash beans, $15, fall, $12.90.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Don.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. A couple of reminders. If you have not yet picked up your tickets for our all-day Ag Outlook, call this number, 217-333-7300. Let me repeat it for you. It's 217-333-7300. The all-day Ag Outlook is Tuesday, March the 5th. At at the Beef House, and your $25 ticket includes the entertainment for the day, all those ag markets, and a Beef House luncheon. Well, Beef House, a little continental breakfast as well. It's a really good deal. Call now, 217-333-7300. And don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.